Tonight, I want us to look at being equally loved by God. Now, on this study, again, one of those kind that you need to take a couple of extras, leave them laying around somewhere or whatever. On the study, I'm going to deal with the world and the Christian realm. When we're dealing with our life is automatically in the two different realms. I've written articles on this. I've preached on it before and all, but I think the teaching part of living within the realm of two societies is very important, because that's exactly what we do. And I've broken it down to the Christian society and the social society. We are individuals that we have a social life or with friends that are in the world. Many times they are not believers, yet great individuals, great folks, and our friends, and we love being around them. And so often we will ask ourselves, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Why haven't they asked me about you yet? And so you get your mind going and thinking, well, am I not excited enough to be a Christian, that they're going to want to know why that I'm that excited? So both societies, now let me do it this way. All of God's creation was loved by God. Now, God looking at his creation, seeing the faults and failures for us, dealing with the freedom of choice, our freedoms to choose right from wrong, and us being the only ones of creation who have that freedom of choice. But we need to understand that the world at large, separate from Christianity, is loved by God just as much as we are loved by God. God's love is so great that every human being has the opportunity until the point of sending away their day of grace. Every individual has that opportunity to change, to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. So what I want us to do is look at it and understanding that our friends or the people that are of the world are still loved. I was loved. You were loved. Each of us loved as much as any other person was loved. We are as loved by Christ as he loved his disciples. And Jesus says that we are as loved by God the Father as he is loved by God the Father. You might hear a little of that in a sermon Sunday too. Both are equally loved by God. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's why we got to watch ourselves. When we are so condemning of a group in society that are wanting to do what is right, they are... working hard, they're doing, raising their family, they're doing all that they can, and yet they don't know Christ. The Christian should not be lambasting them about, you're going to go to hell. Well, a person who is hurting or a person who doesn't know Christ doesn't know about hell either, folks. I mean, what good? Why don't we express our love to them in a way that is pleasing with God? Well, how would we do that? Read the book. The Lord has shown us many times. I mean, can you believe he's out there eating and drinking with sinners and walking around us Pharisees to go meet with them? Told you all he was of the devil. And that's what we're looking at in our society today. Now, we have several type of groups within our society, but it's not unlike some of the generations of our past. As a matter of fact, we have yet to become as brutal. Although you look at the abortion, you look at a lot of the crimes that we were talking about earlier, we are yet not as brutal as some of the countries, of the nations of the past, but they're gone. Their end was not good, none of them. The Lord says, though, I want you to know, Larry, that individual, you all have heard me talk about the inmates and how I would, you know, my heart would break for them, and then my heart would break for the victims, because I met with the victims of the crimes also, and I finally decided, I know what drives chaplains completely crazy, trying to fix everybody, and you can't fix anybody, but you want to. That's the messianic attitude or personality we'll want to take on. Well, now, Randy, don't you worry, I'm going to get you fixed. And I know that's impossible. That ain't going to happen. And every time, you know, I'd look at them, would look at the kids who would say, pull them out of a bad situation, promise them that you don't have to worry, that's not going to happen to you again. And realize I couldn't keep that promise. I mean, folks, that will eat you up for the rest of your life. It has me. Romans 5, 6 through 10. When we were still without strength in due time, meaning when we didn't have any idea of our spiritual strength, of a strength of faith, in due time, or in God's time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. When you're talking about from wrath, the wrath in the New Testament will always mean the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Okay. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The pattern of our salvation is in the death of Jesus Christ and what he took to the cross, and our life is in the resurrection of Christ. So everything within us, the love, and Miss Jessie, you saw in my one verse for Sunday, that love that we have with us, that Christ loves us, is the same love that makes him within us. And isn't it amazing how God sticks with us no matter what we're doing once we've accepted his Son? He's always with us. I mean, I don't have to yell for God. All I've got to do is talk to him. I know good and well he's with me. And I know that I'm needing a good chastising. And I get it quite often. And I'm so happy when I do get it that often. It makes me so happy to know that God loves me enough that he will... that's a new Christian relaxation. Okay. Jesus said that we were to even love our enemies. All right. Brother Randy, have you ever found out being a businessman that it's hard to love your competition, and they're not even your enemy? I mean, it's to love your enemy. Let me put a little focus here. That's not what I want. An asterisk here. Caveat, thank you. You used to go to a lot of parties, didn't you? No, I just... Okay. Love our enemies. We're talking about none of us as Christians. We never have the right to not care enough about the most vile human being that we don't want them saved. Let me put it that way. You can, you realize how hard it is for you to love some people? I mean, you think of that. You go in what we've been talking about our veteran being a victim of a home invasion, beat to death, left there for 2 days and dying like that. Dying alone like that.
Just dying alone.
Dying, yes.
And
yeah.
Everyone cared.
Yep. And you think about that. If when I go in, I see this guy down there when I go. I know him. I know who we have and where they are. And, you know, saying I love you is not really what is coming from my heart at the time or when they do it to the children and all. So let's focus. I've got to focus on it from the standpoint I don't want anybody to go to hell. I know, I've read the book enough to know we don't want anybody in hell. And if the people in hell even doesn't want anybody there, remember the rich man said, send Lazarus to warn my five brothers, to warn them that not to come here. And people that said we're going to have a party, even those you think you're going to party with don't want you to come. That's how bad it is. Matthew 5:43-45. You have heard that it was said, ye shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I said to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, folks, when I'm reading this, I ain't feeling the love. You see, you know what I mean? I mean, I know the way that I'm supposed to think, but here's the difference. I love the idea of one day of each one of us reaching this pinnacle. We will. We will. We won't in this body. But we surely know that the Lord was able to do that because he saved us. And we don't understand how ugly sin really is. We don't understand that. And yet, God knows how ugly it is. One day, when people say, well, what am I going to do when I get there and so-and-so is not here? You know, how could I be happy in heaven knowing that they didn't make it? Do you ever hear that? Okay. When we leave this body, we then will see and know as we are known now, meaning we will witness the darkness of sin the way God sees it. And you and I will not be in a place to where we're going, well, we know we're not going to cry. We know we're not, it's going to be pure love and peace. But only God can give that to us. Our relationship down here, folks, though as Christians we understand we will be with one another. Yes, we will. We will be with one another. But we won't be mother and father and son and brother and all of this. That's not the way it's going to be. Our relationship here, that's why we need to make the best of our relationships here. Are for here. Wait, marriage is for here. It's for here and it's for so we won't be alone where we can commit to one another. And yet, God says, if either one die, then you are free to marry again, and then you go through that. And then if you really get technical and start reading, into a lot of that, you'll find out that what constitutes an individual being dead. when they commit such sin against a family or against another loved one, when that ugliness comes out. Have you ever noticed that or heard somebody say, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead to me? Do you ever hear that term? That's a feeling with inside someone where an individual despises you to that point. Now, you know, there's nothing in Scripture that says that a man or a woman is supposed to, in their right mind, live with an abusive partner. Period. Partner, husband, or wife. I'm getting as bad as the rest of them now with partner stuff. But that's a fact. But I have to stay married to him and take the beatings. And your pastor just goes hog slobbering mad when I hear him say that. And they do. They go back the next week or month. I'm called back out there, or was. I don't do it anymore. And same thing over and over again until you get to the point to where you say, I'm going to tell you that because I will. Well, you say, you know, you deserve exactly what you're getting. And then I feel horrible because I said it, because they don't. But find that peace within. If we are required as Christians then to love our enemies, how much the more our social world friends? We are to love them, but here's another one, but never be unequally yoked to them. Now, folks, I am not allowed as a Christian to marry a non-believer. I draw the line, and people say, man, you draw that line, but I've seen you marry many that have been divorced. And I say, yes, I do, and I have, and I talk to many in that. But what is cut and dry is I am not allowed to marry a known Christian to a non-believer. I can't do it, and I won't do that. And I've had folk in our church very angry with me over that. And yet I've watched what happens when they follow through with it somewhere else or whatever, and then the marriage lasts maybe 9 months at the most or whatever, and then it's over. Well, they say, you're going to be an I told you so. No, I'm sure not. Because my heart aches to see that. And the kids really hurt like that. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 15. Do not be unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal worship. Randy, pronounce that for me. My tongue tied. Belial. This is one of the idol gods. Yes, it's an idol god coming from Baal worship. Anytime you would see Baal in a part of a word, that was an idol. Anytime you see Baal, Beelzebub, Moses had to deal with a lot of the Baal worship. They call Moses' mother's name was Jochebed. That was translated wrongly into Yoshebel. Jochebed pronounced Yoshebel. Well, if it was Yoshebel, then his Hebrew mother would have been, Moses' mother would have been an idol worshiper. Well, she was not. That's why you have to do your background or make certain that people who are speaking of it have done their background on it to know what was going on during that generation. Okay. So, we should have a compelling association with non-believers, absolutely, through the proper Christian projection of the love of Christ. We accomplish this task by compelling them to come in out of the coldness of the world. You won't have to convince folk who don't know Jesus how cold it is out there in the world. Here's a problem with the church. We become colder so often, or they feel that way when they walk in a church. What do they say? I just don't feel welcome. They'll joke and say, well, the church didn't fall in. But still they get the looks. And I've seen it, and you all have to. When you see somebody go up and move a child or something away from an individual that come in, and we had several that had the piercings and all of this. And one thing I'll say about our church now, you know, nothing. I've never seen that here in the last several years, but I've witnessed it many times. You can give people a look or watch people give them that look that you don't have to say a word. Nobody does. They're not coming back. Luke 14, verse 23. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges. Now listen to what Jesus is saying. He's telling us to get out there. You got it? And compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The compelling focus of the Christian is Christ ordained ministry. Christ ordained ministry providing eternal life. Ah, I did remember it. I did a whole study on this one time. I'm on compel. That's what where the Christian is supposed to be. We're compelling Christ ordained ministry promising eternal life. That's where we live a life to where they see it and they want part of us to explain it to them. That's how you keep them. Through Christ, the love which we possess is God's love. God's love cannot be controlled, stopped, manipulated, or withheld by man. Now, read those again and notice how many times man has attempted to do that. Controlled. Well, you know, here's what I want you to believe about this. Well, the Holy Spirit hadn't told you to believe it. Don't believe some man. I don't care who it is. We are to present the gospel and present the gospel in the generation that, or the society in which we have the writings. Control or withheld by man. Okay, God said, Larry, I want you to go and I want you to minister to Bob. And I want you to share with Bob about what Jesus means in your life. Now, Larry, I want you to do that. But Lord, I don't want to go to Bob. He has machine guns. And I don't, you know, I'm just not really into talking to that man. See, that's how are you going to be compelling if you're going to find a fault like that? I'm not finding a fault with everybody in my church, right? Okay. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means if I don't go to Bob to say to him what Christ has told me to say, Randy's going to be called to go to Bob to do it. God is not going to let me control.
I like machine guns.
Yeah. God is not going to let me control his word. I don't have that right. Nor do I have the right to choose the recipient of his word, of his teaching. I don't have that right. Now, what happens to me? I miss the blessing. I miss the blessing of getting to be there and watching the Holy Spirit work. Randy gets the blessing. And I sat over there miserable because, you know, I should have went and talked to Bob. Now I don't even get to shoot the machine gun. Jesus never wanted us to be separated from the social world. Never. But he did pray that we would be protected from Satan while in this world. Got it? John 17:14-15. I've read it enough lately. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So, for us to decide, well, I'm just going to go, let's all go down here on the creek bank and build tents and stay there. That'd be just like Peter and them staying on the mountain, right? Let's protect ourselves because we're saved, we're going to heaven. That way we won't get out in the world and get dirty. Got news for us, Christian, we dirty. Only thing that's clean about us is that spirit and that blood transfusion that Jesus gave us. We belong to him and we're clean there. But as hard as we try, we keep messing up. Has any of you ever got it right yet? I mean, just as soon as I think I got it right, I'm smart enough to realize that was a dumb thought to begin with. One of these days, I'll be able to tell Brother Randy, Brother Randy, remember all those times down on earth, I want you to be blessed because I've realized that only one of those times you were right. But you were right that one time. Okay. As a part of the Christian society, we must recognize that we are continuously interacting with the social society, right? That's our field of ministry. That's what we're supposed to do. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.